When I put this series together, 3 weeks ago now, 4 weeks ago, I had no idea that God was doing what he was doing. I literally wrote this, seven messages? I literally wrote these seven messages in 3 days. I normally don't do that. I usually take a Wednesday and a Thursday. I'm always 2 weeks ahead of myself. I usually take a whole day Wednesday, a whole day Thursday to write one message. I spend time in it, pray about it, research and stuff like that. When I did this series that we're going through right now, it just took off. And within 3 days, I had written every message that I'm spending with you. That's what I did. And how bizarre, I guess, is the word. I can't even think of another word for it, that we would be talking about these things and you are going through things in your life. I've gone through things. Patty and I have gone through things in our life that... Today I wanted to talk to you about grief. Isn't that crazy? That stuff's here and it's already been written. I mean, I didn't rewrite anything. I just there it was. Came back to my office and I looked and I thought, which one am I on? Grief. Oh man. But I just wanted you to know that, okay? I'm not writing these after the fact. I wrote these a long time ago, 3-4 weeks ago, and it's just how God's divine appointment has brought us to this point, right? And God works that way. And so I don't want this message to be a downer, but I want this message to be honest. These are subjects that the church doesn't deal with well. And how ironic, I'm beginning to listen, and our people are sending me stuff. Pastor Terry, such and such a pastor. Max Lucado just sends out a new book on dealing with pain and grief and anxiety. You know, he called me a couple months ago and wanted to know what book to write on. So I said, you know, hey, this is where I'm going. I don't know where you're going, Maxie, but this is where I'm at, buddy. So, you know, just wanted you to know that. Yeah, right. Yeah, in your dreams, right? But I don't know. I guess it's out there. But the church is beginning to just realize that every one of us deal with some tough situations in life, right? And if we can't find hope and we can't find encouragement in the church, then where are we going to find it? I mean, again, I don't know what we would have done without you guys. Your prayers for us, your encouragement to us is phenomenal. I can't brag enough on you as my church. I just am so proud of what you've done, and we just want to just thank you so very, very much. There's so many people in our church today, right this moment, who need you. They need your prayers, and they need your encouragement. But there are people that they're dealing with some tough issues, and we just had a family that used to come to our church is now in the Victorville area. Her mom just passed away 2 days ago. And she wrote to me, Dondi. And Dondi wrote to me and just said, I got to sit with my mom. I held her hand and I prayed out loud as my mom took her last breath. And she wrote, it was beautiful. You know, it's going on. Mimi just lost her husband. 49 years of just, you know. And so we're dealing with things, are we not? A dear friend of ours that Patty and I went to college with last night, Dave and Sue Lunsford, and be in prayer for them, but Sue's going through some difficult times. They don't know what's going to happen with her. And Dave and I spent about an hour on the phone last night. I just wanted to encourage him and love on him. And it's there. It's out there, right? Let's acknowledge it. We're all dealing with something. If you're not, you will. Trust me, you will. And so When I wrote this, I'm actually going to put this in a book. I'm going to write a book about what these messages. So I don't know if you'd be interested in that or not, but I just feel like God's laid on my heart that I need to put this in a book form. But this is how I started this message that I wrote 3 weeks ago, and it's this is what it says. It's not good news. It's not what you thought it would be. The twists and turns of emotions have taken over. Hope, confusion, numbness, questions, silence, anger, loss, future, hopelessness, fear, despair, silence. You ever felt that? Felt that? Yeah. Your mind, your heart begins to shut down. You can't think right. You can't eat, you can't see straight, you can't react to the world around you. And I wrote this, I said, please, someone just stop the world for just 1 minute. Just stop the world for a minute, please. I need to get my mind around this. You ever felt that? I can't get a grasp on this, but I need to. Things are moving so fast. There's so many decisions, so many things are going on. This person coming in, that person going on. I mean, it's amazing. Despair has set in. I thought, as I wrote this a few weeks back, I thought, what is despair? What is despair? And so I thought I would define it for you. Despair can cause you to have a complete lack of hope. That's what despair is, a lack of hope. There's synonyms for despair. There's words like disheartenment or discouragement, desperation, distress, anguish. We all know those terms, don't we? Doesn't each one of those, they carry such a huge emotional attachment to each one of those. And each one of us have felt those. You feel that overwhelming sense of, I'm losing my world. What's happening around me is taking over. I don't have control anymore. I don't sense my own feelings. It's like someone else has control of me. And for a lot of us, we sense God's feelings and his presence. We're not sure, is he too busy that he can't relate to me? We get that feeling, don't we? Each can overwhelm us to the point that we can't see past the circumstances that we're in. We don't see a way around them. There seems to be no way out. We just can't seem to run fast enough to get away from them. But then it finally catches you. It finally does, because there's got to be a moment in that where you got to sit down and you got to take a deep breath, and it catches you. And I wrote this, when the circumstances of life dish out too much pain and confusion, we get overwhelmed. It's just too much. Fear kicks in. And once fear grips your heart, hopelessness takes over. And that is an ugly place to be when you've come to a realization of hopelessness. That's not a good place for a human soul to be. We've then turned our backs on our hope, and we've allowed despair to rule our minds. Allowing despair to have control is choosing to disbelieve in God's promises to deliver and to provide for you. I have to tell you that, I don't know, must have been, Lilia fell on her bike on Saturday. Zeke fell out of the window on Tuesday. On Thursday, I remember I got up, and Patty and I went up to Loma Linda to spend some time with the family just to be there. We were there each day, and I just remember that was the day that it caught me, that I couldn't go any farther. I couldn't reason what was happening. You know, you have those days when you got to control it. You're all right. But that was my day. You ever had one of those days? You'll have one. My day was Thursday. And I remember talking to myself, saying to myself, I have to choose to believe in God's promises, because if I don't, then my disbelief will override truth. And I remember thinking, what is the truth? Well, the truth is these are called accidents. The truth is my grandkids are in good hands. The truth is God is going to be faithful. The truth is there'll be a tomorrow. The truth is I have to trust him that he knows what he's doing. And I had to keep telling my mind that each and every moment of that day. And then I'd have some good moments, and then something would happen and someone would say something and I would revert back. And I just remember telling myself, what are you going to believe here, Terry? What's going to be the truth here? What's going to win the day in this moment? Because if you don't conquer this, it will conquer you. And that's what happens, doesn't it? And that's that moment of despair. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. That was my day. That was my Thursday. I couldn't wait for Thursday to be over. You know what I mean? Because I thought, okay, I gotta have this day. And that was the day I just kind of sat in the waiting room, and I didn't do a whole lot. And when I don't know what to do, I get quiet. Are you like that? And because I usually talk and, you know, in things, and my sweet wife, she knew something was wrong, because I didn't know what to say. I was in despair. You know what I mean? You ever had that? And you try to figure out, because I've got to get a handle on this. I wrote this. Despair is a verb. Despair is a verb. It is an action that is taken by you, by me, right? You and I, we've decided to despair. You have chosen to walk away from hope. That's why it's a verb. You see, despair and hope are mortal enemies. They are. They do not like each other. I wrote this. They don't play well together in the sandbox. They just don't. They're always at each other's throats, right? Neither is willing to give up any ground in your heart or in your mind. They both have the same amount of power, but this is it. But they can only survive if you give them the authority to rule in your life. Which one? Despair or hope? And you will decide which one will rule the day. That's your decision. See, you give yourself away to one of them, either on a daily basis or on a weekly basis or the rest of your life. You're the one that decides what you're going to do. Am I going to despair or am I going to hope? It's really only two choices we really have. Some of us, unfortunately, are living a lifestyle of despair. It's our middle name. It's who we have become. Hope has left the building, and despair is an absolute control of your life. And that's not a good place to be. So I had this thought. There's something really wrong with this picture. If I've allowed despair to rule and reign in my life, there's something really wrong with this picture. Agreed? And if this happens to be you, that you just can't get over that next mountain. It's just been way too much stuff, way too many circumstances that it's just piled on you. And you're in despair. I think today we might find a victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to share this passage with you, and it's from the Living Bible, and I loved this translation of it. Just allow me to read it to you, all right? But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shines within us, is held in a perishable container, that is, in our weak bodies. And all God's people said, amen. Everyone can see that the glorious power within must be from God, and it's not our own. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We're perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up. We don't quit. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again, and we just keep on going. These bodies of ours are constantly facing death, just as Jesus did. So it is clear to all that it is only the living Christ within who keeps us safe. Yes, we live under constant danger to our lives because we serve the Lord, but this gives us constant opportunities to show forth the power of Jesus Christ within our dying bodies. Real tall African-American man was in the same waiting room as us, and I kind of just started a conversation with him. He had that look like I must have had, and we just kind of struck up a friendship. About 3 days into it, I saw him walking with a little boy. A little kid was about this tall, and this gentleman, he was a pretty big guy, a little kid like this, and he had blue band-aids on his arm, and he's just walking down the little short little hallway between the 5,700 rooms and the 5,200 rooms. So he kind of caught my eye. I looked him in the eye. I said, how you doing? He's doing okay. I said, is this your boy? He said, yeah, that's my boy. I said, what happened? he drowned. And they said he'd never walk again. I looked that old boy in the eye and I said, the Lord is good, isn't he? He said, yes, sir, he is. Wow. The little girl had swallowed a marble, had to get her stomach pumped. There was all kinds of stuff going on in that hospital. Man, I told Patty, I wish I had the gift of healing. Man, I'd be at Loma Linda all day long. I'd clean that place out. I'd put nurses out of business. I'm sorry. I would, man. I'd be walking in there in the name of Jesus. Go home. Wow. Because of our preaching, Paul wrote, we face death, but it has resulted in eternal life for you. We boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us. Just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe and therefore I speak. We know that the same God who brought the Lord Jesus back from death will also bring us back to life again with Jesus and present us to him along with you. These sufferings of ours are for your benefit. And the more of you who are one to Christ, the more they are to thank him for his great kindness. And the more the Lord is glorified. That is why we never give up. Don't give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. These troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small. And they won't last long. Thank you, Jesus. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessings upon us forever and ever. So we don't look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. I like that verse. I'm going to hang on to that one. And as I did that passage, I wrote, where did despair go in this passage? I don't see despair in here. Where did that hopelessness that has control of you? Where's the confusion? It's not in that passage. Somehow Paul got it right. He stopped looking at his circumstances as being bad. I mean, on Wednesday of that week, Patty and I, it's a good thing we didn't talk much that day. We both said, hey, last Wednesday, I wanted to sell the house. Two grandkids hurt at our home. We're done. We're selling it. We're going to go live in our trailer. That'll last about 3 days. I mean, seriously, we both said, man, if a realtor would have showed up on Wednesday of that week, we would have said, sell it. You know what I mean? Oh, boy. We saw the circumstances as being bad, and it was bad. But instead, Paul says, he chose to see them as opportunities for God to be victorious in his life. That's right. I wrote, victories? Victories. How can we claim victory when our circumstances seem bleak? How can we? Because Paul said this, because hope was not based upon earthly circumstances. He believed and held on to the knowledge that God is always in control of it all. He's always in control. Is God always in control? Are your circumstances always in control? No. I think they should outlaw bicycles. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, in life, you just got to take a deep breath, don't you? You just have to say, well, remember 2 weeks ago I taught you? I did a couple of those. I know that many of us struggle with despair. I know we do. Life is throwing some fast, furious, and ugly curveballs at you right now. It's way too much information that's being data dumped in you. Wow. Doctors come in and they tell you this, they tell you that, they tell you this, and there's five of them standing there. You know, it's intimidating. You know, the main one's telling you all these kind of things, and then another one comes in and tells you this, and then there's this going on, there's just a lot of things happening. You're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting for that call. You're waiting for that piece of paper. You're waiting and you're waiting. And then you find out your doctor went on vacation. Why would he go on vacation? Doesn't he know that I'm more important than his vacation? What's with that? Why do they do that? You need to talk to the doctors and tell them to stop doing that. Evelyn's a nurse. She's never going to sit in the front row again. Right? They always go on vacation when you need them the most. Yeah. We lose the ability to sort through all this stuff. We've allowed despair to come into the front door of our hearts and shows up and makes himself a cup of coffee and has breakfast on you, and it's just there. You almost can't get it to leave. It's time to go. I haven't finished my breakfast yet. It's time to get out of my life, but I love being with you. Despair loves to make a home in our hearts. It feels comfortable there. Despair wins when hope is tossed out the window. Despair is a master of getting us to fix our eyes upon the overwhelming circumstances. But here it is. You ready? Despair wants nothing more than for you to stop looking up. Despair wants you to look down. Wants you to look down on your life. Man, aren't I a terrible person? This is happening to me because I'm a terrible person. I deserve this. Despair makes you look down on yourself, and despair makes you look down on God. God doesn't love me. If God was a good God, have you ever heard that one before? If he's such a good God, then why did this happen? That's despair telling you to get your eyes off of a God who cares about you and understands the circumstances of life. Because you ready? Life happens. And sometimes it siphons. Because you're not supposed to say suck in church. Sometimes life siphons. Amen? Sometimes you can't help but what happens? You just can't help it. And despair says, don't look up to God. Look down on him. Blame him for it. Despair is the enemy. Not God. Despair is your enemy, not God. Despair, it's not your family. Your family's not your enemy. Your friends aren't your enemy. You're not your enemy. Despair is not your best friend. It could care less about you. So let's just call it for what it is. Despair is the enemy of my soul. When I'm in despair, I get my eyes off of the truth of God. When I'm in despair, I get my eyes off of the one who loves me the most. Why is it that mom and dad begin to fight? It's not about mom and dad. Why is it that we begin to look at our friends and say, our friends don't care about us? If my friend really called me, they would have called me at 3:15 on Tuesday afternoon because they would have known. Maybe they didn't know. And despair says, just realize nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. You're all by yourself, and there is no God, and he doesn't love you. That's despair. That is not truth. That's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's not the God of the Scriptures. That's called despair. And despair is the enemy of your soul. It hates you. So what do we do about this ugly, powerful, overwhelming enemy of our soul? Here's the word. You ready? Hope. Hope is Jesus. And I sit here today with you to tell you that's it. You just have to turn to the hope that Jesus knows what he's doing. When your daughter-in-law is screaming her head off and grandma's screaming her head off because grandson just fell out of a 10-floor window and hit the concrete and you're screaming, you just have to say, Lord, I just have to hope that you know what you're doing. And I kind of said it that way. I hope you know what you're doing. But it turned to hope. There's hope here, God. You know what you're doing. There's a reason for this. I don't get it. It's not how I would have programmed it. But hope isn't in yourself, and it's not in the things around you, and for sure it's not in your environment or your circumstances. Man, if you're hoping that your circumstances will change so that you'll get your hope back, good luck on that one. Okay, call me in a month. Okay, because that's not going to work. It's not going to work. But we need to hope in the one who loves our soul. See, hope means Jesus. Jesus is that life that's given to those who have lost their hope and are controlled by despair. You can turn to a God who loves you and cares about you. And yes, life can be tough. And yes, life doesn't make sense sometimes. But God's there. And he'll walk with you if you allow him. I want to read to you Psalm 42. Here's Paul. Here's David. What an incredible psalm. It says, I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. Day and night, my tears keep falling, and my heart keeps crying for your help, while my enemies mock me over and over, saying, Where is this God of yours? Why doesn't he help you? So I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out front leading the procession of praise when the great crowds of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord? You shouted with joy as the sounds of passionate celebration filled the air, and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the festival of the Lord. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping. And just keep waiting on God, your Savior. For no matter what, I will still sing with praise, for living before his face is my saving grace. Here I am depressed and downcast, yet I will still remember you as I ponder the place where your glory streams down from the mighty mountaintops, lofty and majestic, the mountains of your awesome presence. My deep needs call out to the deep kindness of your love. Your waterfall of weeping sent waves of sorrow over my soul, carrying me away, cascading over me like a thundering waterfall. Yet all day long, God's promises of love pour over me. Through the night, I sing his songs, for my prayer to God has become my life. I will say to God, you are my mountain of strength. How could you forget me? Why must I suffer this vile oppression of my enemies, those heartless tormentors who are out to kill me? Their wounding words pierce my heart over and over while they say, where is this God of yours? So I say to my soul, don't be discouraged. Don't be disturbed. For I know my God will break through for me. Then I'll have plenty of reasons to praise him all over again. Yes, living before his face is my saving grace. I like that. You like that? Yeah. So, despair, it's time to disappear. That was Friday morning. So I've had enough of this. I've had enough of you having any victories in my life. We're not going to do this anymore. So can I just share real quickly just a couple thoughts with you maybe to help you on this one? First one is this. Though you might not be able to change your circumstances, you can change how you react to them. Yes? Yeah. Hope is a choice. Despair is a choice. God is a choice. You have the power to choose whom or what you will allow to control your heart or mind. It's your choice. And secondly, you might be in a place right now that doesn't make sense or it doesn't seem right. It's okay to be sad, and it's okay to be afraid. It's okay. Those are normal responses. Just be careful that you don't look to them for your sustaining help. If you empower them, they will depower you. If you allow sadness and fear to rule your days and nights, you will find yourself lost in the darkness of your circumstances. And trust me, it's dark there. The truth is, you can't always control your circumstances. What you can control is how you will live each day in spite of them. And third, regardless of how frightened, confused, and overwhelmed you might be right now, there is hope. There is hope. There are three things that I have found throughout the scriptures. There's three things that we can always count on that are gifts from God, and they never go away. Faith, hope, and love. Hope is a gift from the very heart of God. It comes from His very being, and it's given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's that healing lotion of the Spirit of God that can overflow us and take care of us in our deepest, darkest moments. Hope is one thing that gives us the ability to face our unknown tomorrows. Because you don't know sometimes. Well, we have to wait 24 hours. We have to wait 48 hours. We'll call you back the second Tuesday of next week. And you wait. And you wait. And then people say, how you doing? What do you mean, how am I doing? How are you doing? I'm in despair. My heart is heavy. My mind is overwhelmed. Sometimes, just maybe sometimes in those moments, instead of asking a person, how are you? You just give them a hug. Or you just give the old man shake. Isn't that amazing, guys, what that does for us? It's powerful, isn't it? Too bad you ladies don't understand that, huh? You do it to a girl and she goes. But see, you do that to a guy. See? He knows. He knows what that means. I'm going to close with Romans 15:13. Look at this verse. It's beautiful. Now may God, the inspiration and foundation of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with His super abundance until you radiate with hope. That's good. My hope and prayer today is that you found that in the midst of your despair that you'll find hope. It is a choice, and we have to choose. Can't change our circumstances sometimes, but we can change what we will do in those circumstances. Let's hope in the Lord. Amen? All right. Let me close in prayer. Ask the guys to come on forward. Let's pray, all right? Father, I love you today, and I just bless you for these people. I thank you for all that you're doing in their lives, and there's so many in this audience right now that are needing hope, struggling. Despair has won the day too many times, but maybe just today, maybe now, they'll just say, no more despair. I choose hope. I thank you for your faithfulness to us. I thank you that when we just don't know what to do, we can turn to you and we can find strength. And for that, I bless you. I pray your blessing upon these people. And for those of us that are still in need, so great need of your healing touch, of the peace in our hearts and minds, we cry out to you again. Fill us with hope. Help us to get through this day, that everything we do and say will bring honor and praise to your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.